Good morning. It is 10:01 on Tuesday, November 20, 2018. I'm Randy Christman, Chairman of the North Dakota Public Service Commission, and call this meeting to order. I'm joined by Commissioner Brian Krashes and Commissioner Julie Fedorchak. So we have a quorum. As far as opening comments, I want to comment. I hope I'm not premature in being excited about this, but the Lignite Research Council, for those who might be listening and aren't familiar, is made up of various industry groups and labor and ag and such, but mostly industry groups. Also has two representatives of the legislature that are appointed by the governor, and also one person from the Public Service Commission, and that has been me for a long time, both as a legislator and now on the commission. Through various revenue sources, we propose grants and recommend them to the Industrial Commission. And that's been going on for decades. But last week we met and had one that I think is just particularly thrilling and also maybe the biggest grant that we've ever done. And that is for, or recommended to the Industrial Commission, I should say, because they have the final say. But we recommended approval of funding for Project Tundra. And, you know, there's a project in Texas that's been going on that is fairly similar but significantly smaller scale, I think probably less than half the size, and that uses PRB coal. That has worked quite successfully, a lot of lessons learned, but pretty successfully. And it is, in fact, capturing carbon dioxide from a coal plant down there and moving it to an oil field and enhancing oil recovery in that oil field. Project Tundra would propose to do a similar project on the Milton R. Young 2 station at Center, which is, I can't remember the size, I think it's about 450 megawatts, certainly a significant project. Capture that, build a pipeline, move the CO2 out to McKenzie County to an oil field out there. I don't want to mislead people. This would not be enhanced oil recovery of a Bakken field. This would be an old traditional type oil field where we know and understand better how to enhance the oil recovery with CO2 and keep the pressure up that's needed. But certainly a huge step. And this project will require DOE funding, which has not been assured yet, so that's kind of the next step. But this would be $15 million of state funding, and then if the $15 million of DOE funding came together, they would move forward. And this is the front-end engineering study, and it's over $30 million, a lot of money. But we're talking about well over a $1 billion project if everything comes together. And so this type of homework does need to be done. If this moves forward, and really everything has fallen into place very well for it, if we can move forward with this, really in advance, not seeing any huge obstacles, within probably less than 3 years, this study could be done and be ready to make the next move of committing the well over $1 billion to actually do the project. That would be a couple-year project. So we could be in around 5 years from now actually capturing almost all the CO2 out of one of our coal-fired power plants. If that came together, keep in mind all of our coal plants have different types of boilers and such. This wouldn't just be necessarily a snap-on to do to all of our plants, but they are close enough that it would be minor revisions. And so this is, I think, a huge moment in the future of North Dakota's energy production. And so excited about that, and I believe as we're talking, or maybe within the next hour or two, I'm not sure what time they start, the Industrial Commission meets, and this is on their agenda, and hopefully they'll forward it, and then hopefully we'll be successful in getting the DOE funding for the other half. Commissioner Krashes.
Yep, totally agree. Very exciting project. It would be, and it's really the next step in the evolution of continuing to utilize coal as an energy generating resource, and that's critical for the country, critical for our state, and something that we need to continue doing. So well put, well said. I would say happy, it's not quite Thanksgiving, but I would wish everyone a fantastic Thanksgiving and to travel safe out there. The weather looks fairly decent. We don't regulate the weather, but maybe we should pretend we do when it's good and then say we don't when it's bad. But safe travels, everyone. Have a great Thanksgiving with family.
Commissioner Fedorchak.
Thank you both. So, Randy, I had a question about that Project Tundra. That's on Coyote, correct?
No, Coyote Milton Station. R. Young.
Oh, Milton R. Young. Okay, all right. I did have one question come up at NARUC regarding Coyote and their longer-term compliance with Rachel Hayes that was kind of a surprise to me. So I'm curious, does this Project Tundra, would that automatically assume that for that station and that it's also taking care of any additional Hayes requirements that would be needed, or are you not sure about that?
I'm not 100% sure. I don't believe this Project Tundra for CO2 capture would have anything to do with regional
Hayes. Particulate stuff. Okay. All right. Well, it's exciting to see this technology develop, and I hope that it matures quick enough to actually be something that's viable for the coal plants long-term in North Dakota. But I think that the fact that ours are mind-to-mouth and they're still chugging along great in the MISO market, I think that their future is still pretty strong for those facilities. So,
well, one of the things that I neglected to mention that was a huge point of discussion and the reason for needing to move quickly on this and proceed with not only the Industrial Commission step but then seeking the DOE funding. In the timing of this, I think we've always assumed it needs to move relatively quickly while these coal plants are still sustainable. But there's also the oil fields. And, we haven't really mastered EOR in the Bakken shale fields, but it is pretty well understood in the old traditional fields. But those old wells are being capped in at a very quick rate. There was some amazing statistics. I think from 15 years ago, about half of the old traditional wells have been capped. And so we also need to do this in a timely enough manner that there are plenty of, mm-hmm. of those old oil wells to enhance the oil recovery upon. So two reasons to want to move in a timely manner, but there's a lot of optimism that this is still proceeding in a timely manner, so I think we're good. With that, we'll move into our agenda. First of all, the previous meeting minutes plus four items on the consent calendar. I move approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
I had only one item, a very interesting one, so I'm just piquing your interest on Falkirk Mine. That is a kind of a fascinating story, but there are a few details still to be worked out, so we're going to have to remove that from the agenda and hold off until the next meeting. So my agenda is completed, and I'll turn it to Commissioner Karashis.
All right. I have three agenda items. All are notice of opportunity for hearing. The first, I move the commission reduce the filing fee to $10,000, suspend the tariff and rates, and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Montana Dakota Utilities Company, a division of MDU Resources Group Incorporated, transmission facility cost recovery, rates, case number PU-18-379.
Second.
On November 1st, 2018, MDU, a division of MDU Resources Group Incorporated, filed a change to its transmission cost adjustment, tariff, and TCA rates to reflect updated electric transmission revenues and costs. The effect of the rate change on the bill for a residential customer using 894 kilowatt hours per month is a decrease of 69 cents per month, or $8.28 per year, compared with the existing TCA rate. I'm getting the TCJA mixed in, and that's not the case. The TCA rate. The issues to consider in this proceeding, and this would be the same for the following two that I will read, following two notices of opportunity for hearing, but are the proposed tariff revisions just and reasonable? Do the proposed rates comply with the tariff, and are the proposed rates just and reasonable? Those interested are invited to comment on the application in writing. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and the reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by January 3rd, 2019, and if deemed appropriate, the Commission can determine the matter without a hearing. For more information, people can contact the Public Service Commission at 701-328-2400. And the two primary, I shouldn't say two primary. This includes changes from both MISO and SPP, but also a number of other elements. Advocacy is currently reviewing, and we'll wait and see if they take an advocacy position on this. But there are a lot of moving parts that are involved in this, and again, including charges from both MISO and SPP.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, next, I move the Commission to reduce the filing fee to $10,000, suspend the tariff and rates, and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Montana Dakota Utilities Company, a division of MDU Resources Group Incorporated, generation, resource, cost recovery, tariff, and rates, case number PU-18-380.
Second.
On November 2nd, 2018, MDU Resources, again a division of MDU Resources Incorporated, filed a change to its generation resource recovery rates, tariff, and GRRR rates to reflect 2019 projected costs for its Lewis and Clark reciprocating internal combustion engine units. The effect of the rate change on the bill for a residential customer using 894 kilowatt hours per month is a decrease of 0.57 cents per month or $6.84 per year compared with the existing GRRR rate. The same issues mentioned previously are to be considered. Those interested are invited to comment on the application in writing. Persons desiring a hearing, again, must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceedings and reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by January 3rd, 2019. And again, the number that we can be reached here at the Public Service Commission is 701-328-2400. And this involves moving the Heskett 3 unit from the generation resource cost recovery rider to base rates, and then a change in the revenue requirement for the RICE units that are being updated to reflect the TCJA, and that would be the two primary components involved in this.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, my final item, I move the Commission to reduce the filing fee to $10,000, suspend the tariff and rates, and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Montana Dakota Utilities Company, a division of MDU Resources Group Incorporated, renewable resource cost recovery, tariff, and rates, case number PU-18-381.
Second.
On November 2nd, 2018, MDU filed a change to its renewable resource cost adjustment tariff, updated its RRCA rates to reflect revised costs for its existing wind facilities, including costs for the 48-megawatt Thunder Spirit wind expansion project, and included the project projected under collected balance as of December 2018. Again, for an average residential customer using $894 kilowatt hours per month, this would result in an increase of $1.52 per month or $18.24 per year compared with the existing RRCA rate. The same three issues mentioned previously are to be considered in this proceeding, and again, those interested are invited to comment on the application in writing. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by January 3rd, 2019. If deemed appropriate, the commission can determine the matter without a hearing. And once again, the number that we can be reached at the PSC is 701-328-2400. And this involves three projects: the Thunder Spirit Wind Project, Cedar Hills Wind Project, and Diamond Willow Wind Project. The main driver, as mentioned, is the Thunder Spirit expansion, the 48 megawatt expansion project, and also an under recovery amount that's also included in this.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I'll just mention that I think it's helpful when all of these rider motions come all together like this, because I think it's sometimes confusing for customers to understand their bills. There's your base fees and costs, and then you have all these riders that get added on and to meet your total fee. And the riders really, so there's three of them: the renewable resource rider, recovering all the renewable investments like the Thunder Spirit Wind expansion. Then MDU has a generation rider, which has become more limited after our last rate case, but still includes a couple facilities. And then the transmission rider, which really collects all the fees for MISO and SPP and passes those along to customers and any other transmission projects that aren't covered in base rates. So if you look at all of the increases and decreases, what they're proposing is a net of 26 cents per month for the average customer. And so because some of these are going down, it really softens what can sometimes be a large increase through the riders. And it's important to note that, you know, these riders really are intended to help the company decrease the need for, well, it's one of the benefits is that it helps them decrease the need for rate cases and allows some rate stability over time. But they still get scrutinized by staff, and we go through them, and we have an opportunity to decline to cover things that they're proposing and that sort of thing in the riders. But it has a benefit for the company of providing some in-between rate case cost recovery and for some of these resources. And in this case, if all of them go through as they're proposed, it would result in a net increase of, like I said earlier, 26 cents per customer per month for the average residential customer.
Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Commissioner Fedorchak.
There's none. I have no items on the agenda. Do you see one?
Oh, somehow this got in here. This is dated November 2nd, though.
I thought maybe the agenda was on the back side and I didn't see it or didn't get anything. So, my workload is light today.
I guess. Okay. Just a couple of announcements. Our next meeting is we worked today to work kind of around Thanksgiving and some other things and avoid the day before Thanksgiving meeting. And then in 2 weeks, we're going to also adjust it off of Wednesday in order to avoid meeting at the same time that the governor is doing the budget announcement. So our next meeting will be Thursday, December 6th here in this room at 10 o'clock. But again, Thursday, December 6th. And I will just point out, because at that meeting there'll be so little time before the next formal hearing, the following day on Friday, December 7th, is a formal hearing on case number PU-18-280 and 281, two cases. Those are Emmons Logan Wind and then the Emmons Logan Wind 230 kV transmission line. That hearing will be down in Linton, North Dakota, at the Emmons County Courthouse. So again, on the Emmons Logan Wind Project and their transmission line, it is December 7th, 10 o'clock, at the Emmons County Courthouse in Linton. And I thought there was one more thing that I was going to point out, but maybe there's not. Yeah, I think that does it for the announcements. With that, we will stand in recess, take some questions from the press, and then take a short break and reconvene for the administrative portion of our meeting.
I apologize for being late, but did you mention why BK1 was withdrawn?
It was withdrawn. Just was made aware that more time was requested, if you will, to review the material. So. Withdrew it from the agenda for that reason.
So that'll be for sure on the next meeting, correct?
I would assume it will be, but unless a work session is requested, and even then it could probably still get on the next.
Isn't that how they work when they're withdrawn officially? It gets automatically comes up
if it's held over, it automatically goes on the next one. If withdrawn, it doesn't automatically land on the next agenda, although it certainly could.
Well, this case has been dragging on for a very long time, so I am hoping that we can wrap it up here soon and get it on the next agenda. It's been a year and a half or more.
I had actually expressed concern about having it on today because it was yesterday morning and I still haven't seen an order. And so it's too big of a case to do with an order that you've had minutes to look at.
Okay, so I can understand that. So hopefully staff will get us the order so we can have enough time to review it and take action.
And we'll see when we're ready to take action.
But we do need to note the fact that it's probably been a year and a half or longer that we've had that case. So we need to wrap it up.
I don't disagree that we need to wrap it up. I will point out in that, though, that part of that time they requested that it be suspended for part of that time to merge some things.
And then next Tuesday you have an informal hearing on the NSP TCJA. That's taken a while. What are the issues still outstanding, do you know?
Pat? What are the issues?
Well, this is on the electric side, right?
Yeah, it's the electric side.
I mean, it feels like it's taken a while, but there's, when you look at, not a lot of states have three investor-owned utilities plus two gas, well, really three, so, and a very small staff. Each one of those is like a rate case. So it takes some time for staff to work through all the filings that the company's having and work through all the numbers and make sure that they are coming forward with a proposal that makes sense, and then for us to understand what they're doing and fully consider what the settlement is doing and being offered. So this is the last one, and I think that we've got one more work session to get through, and we'll probably be ready to conclude shortly thereafter and get that thing wrapped up.
It's important to realize that all of the refund amounts, or if there's an adjustment in rates, a downward adjustment in rates as a result of the TCJA, will date back to January 1st. Mm-hmm. So customers will see the full benefit under the assumption that the numbers are positive, which they should be, and then that will be applied accordingly on their bills. So nobody will miss out on a refund amount, and I think Commissioner Podorcek summed it up very well in that we have an incredibly small staff in comparison to, say, Minnesota, which I believe have between 40 and 50 in their public utility division. They're not here to defend themselves, so I'm going to go with 40 to 50. it could be 80 to 90. I mean, I'm not exactly. No. So, no, but I believe that because I was doing some comparisons, and the folks we have on staff do an incredible job. They cover a lot of ground, and we're also a commission that's incredibly busy and involved with siting projects. That we live in a unique state when you think about the fact that we have energy resources and we have natural gas plants, processing plants that come before the commission, pipeline projects, wind projects, and a host of other things that many states don't have, or they have in such a smaller incremental amounts, that we cover a lot of ground and staff does a heck of a job.
And then one final thing of all these tariffs from MDU, were any of these Rough Riders? I couldn't help it.
I'll let the portfolio holder handle that one.
Okay.
Anything else? Not to my knowledge.
Okay. Let's take a break from that one, and we'll reconvene for the administrative portion of the meeting at 10:35. It really derailed the last 45 seconds. Okay, we'll reconvene for the administrative portion of the meeting. There's two items on the consent calendar. I move approval.
Second.
There are actually three items on the consent agenda, Commissioner.
You're right. I stand corrected. I move approval of all three items on the consent calendar.
Second.
We have a motion, a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
We'll move to discussion, and the first item is WPX Energy Williston LLC, a jurisdictional determination. Mr. Hsu.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. We did receive a request for just jurisdictional determination. I know I've spoken with all three of you. I've written up a response to the company and have provided that to all of you, and I just need your approval to send it out.
Jack, is this pretty much the same letter that we just saw yesterday, substantively?
Yes, it should be almost entirely with just some minor edits.
No substantive changes.
Correct.
Well, I thought the one yesterday pretty much the message that I would like to see delivered.
Okay. Well, I'll send that out then today.
Not seeing any objections, so we'll...
I think it looks good. I'm just peeking through it.
Oh, sure.
Changes.
I think we talked yesterday.
Yeah.
I had a couple questions, so
that's
I'm good.
Thank you.
Nice work.
The next item on discussion are the North Dakota One Call unpaid fees cases. Mr. Shook.
Yes, sir. So it's been a couple of years since we talked about this. That's why I brought out the memo that I put before you. That was from the last time we talked about this. I thought I kind of summarized our previous discussions in this memo and kind of our suggestions at the time. The result at that time was we agreed to send out a letter to companies who aren't paying their bill after a couple other stages were done. First of all, One Call Concepts will send out a past due notice, then the board will send out a notice, and then we would send out a notice. This year we've sent out, I would say, 50 to 75 of those. I just have Jerry write them up, I sign them, and we ship them off. We really don't do any other action on those. Those have been largely successful, but there are still some that are unpaid. So the board was looking for a next step. Back then, you know, a couple years ago, we didn't agree to anything more but that letter. And the letter has done all it can at this point, and they are looking for something further from us, I guess, is what they've requested.
Do you have updated numbers?
I do. So we still have, you know, way back when we got a whole bunch of cases, a total of 21 that are open as of today. I know 17 of those have been paid, so we could close those, and I'll probably be doing that in the coming weeks.
So there's four open only?
Four that should be open still.
Okay.
Of the
and
original.
No new ones have been added?
No, they haven't submitted any new ones because, you know, we've advised them that they're just going to sit there. We will take no action on those because that's the direction I've received from the commission.
Well, are there new ones going through the same process that they outlined? Like their new ones they're sending out and going through. So we're like step number five or four on that list of, and they just don't have any that have reached that step?
No, sorry. So they have ones where they have sent out, you know, One Call Concepts has sent the past due notice. They give that, I think, 45 days. Then the board sends another notice that's a little more strongly worded. They give that 45 days. And then we send a notice that's a little bit more strongly worded again. Mm-hmm. It's similar to the initial letter I send out with damage cases. But it doesn't say, you know, I've opened a case and I'm going to do something. It just says you may be this, that, and the other thing. We've sent out a large number of those, and they've largely been successful. But there's still some after that notice that have not paid. And that list is approximately 40 companies who haven't paid.
Were there that many on that list that Ryan brought us?
Yep, that's the list Ryan gave us the other day.
That was 40 was the count?
I think approximately. I'm just kind of rough estimation.
Okay. So 40 plus 40 the and four the, that were?
No, this is including those four.
Okay.
The 21 was just a case count, you know, from back in the day. So of these 40, the dollar values of unpaid ranges from a high of $486 to a low of $10. The board hasn't requested anything specific as far as we do all of them, some of them, just a few. But they are interested in doing something, I guess, is what I got from them. There was a board meeting a couple weeks ago that I attended, and they aren't as excited about this as they were back in the day. You know, a couple years ago, Mark Doherty was still on the board, and he was very adamant about us doing something with these. He's since retired, and the remaining board is interested in doing something, but less vigorously.
Ryan had sent an email, and that was what, on the 15th? Was that?
Sounds about right.
Friday? Well, anyway, it came out just a few days ago. And this was following a meeting that Victor, Ryan, Pat, and I had talking about this. And they're looking for a little more, you know, an added step, if you will. And we did express in terms of the complaints, and, you know, Victor, you summed it up pretty well in terms of, you know, logistically, how do we handle all these complaints? But at the same time, Ryan's email said 3 to 5 complaints for the PSC to process. But I know that isn't exactly the number that we had talked about, rather than, you know, to see would it be effective to process a couple of those.
So are these, are they officially complaints, or what are these? When we say complaints, what are we talking about?
So
they would have to file them.
Who, and they is One Call Concept.
Yep. The way they've been doing it lately is the board will actually file them rather than One Call Concept. So One Call Concepts is the company that handles the center and does the billing on behalf of the board. Mm-hmm. And the board just felt it was more appropriate if they would submit complaints. It really doesn't matter which one of them would do it. But at present, the ones that they would request that we process, I don't believe we have complaints on them, so they could submit them. But I would need direction from you if you would like me to go ahead with that. I'm certainly not advocating for that at this point. I can tell you I have more than enough things to keep me busy from day to day. So
I almost think we need a work session. But
I'm going to throw, well, Can I talk about a couple of the other options? The one thing that I had asked Ryan when we were visiting, you know, about the process itself, they're manually sending out, you know, paper, hard copy statements to these customers, contractors. What's unique is that we are one of only two states, is it Alaska and North Dakota?
Yes.
That charge. So the other states do not.
Correct.
So, but it's a part of statute that they are charged. One of the options I asked him procedurally, you know, you go in, you complete the work online as an excavator. So you go in, you complete the work, you know, where you're going to dig, dates, et cetera, location. Why not have a automatic credit card? Okay, so here's a step. Step three is submit payment. Step four, confirm. You get confirmation. Everyone operates with a credit card or multiple credit cards in their business, and it's just done.
Right.
Then
you don't get it if you don't pay.
Right. It's a part of you need to submit a credit card and pay for it on the spot. And I actually think excavators would really like it. Because then they don't have to process through accounting. They have to track it, of course, when they get their credit card statement and do their paperwork on their end. But then it's done.
Well, the thing that, I mean, that's really their call, not ours.
Right. It was a recommendation, though.
Yeah, we could, but, I mean, our response could be we're doing all that we can with the staff that we have available. We, you know, encourage you to try some of these other avenues. That being one of them.
I think, you know, even back then, and, you know, I continue to make those recommendations to the board as well. I mean, we don't control how they operate their system. We've made lots of very good suggestions to them. They continue to assert that it's really not about the money for them. It's not a large dollar amount. They've written off a number of these. They're just asserting that they don't want it to become a larger issue, that for excavators to find out that, well, if you don't pay, nothing's really going to happen to you, so it catches on. I'm not sure if that would really happen or not, but that's kind of their assertion.
Well, I will say from my perspective, I am going to work very hard to see that we don't start doing these. Our budget keeps getting nicked every time. We've never even gotten money budgeted for handling the digging type violations where there's significant amounts of damage potential as opposed to a filing fee type thing here. And so I don't see that we have the resources to be doing this. They have multiple options. They could be like most other states and eliminate the charge and put it all on the companies, but that shouldn't be our move. That should be their move if they want to go down that route. If we're going to be handling these, then the only way that I would want to even think of handling them is if the finances isn't a big issue to them, to bill them for all of our hours in processing these. And it's, of course, going to be much more than what the cost of most fees are unless someone has racked up many of them in one case. But I just do not see that we have the resources to be handling these. Accessions coming up, they've got multiple moves they could make to fix their problem, as well as making it a criminal offense so they can take it to a state's attorney. But I expect they're getting the same response from state's attorneys as from us. It's just why they keep
bringing this up. I think I agree with that to some degree, but at the same time, this is a part of statute, correct?
Did they have to pay? That is correct.
Right. That's a shared, I forget the exact wording.
A share in the costs.
Share in the costs. So I don't know that they are overly excited about having to charge operators for this, but it would require a change in the law.
Yeah.
So, but it is a part of law currently. So to take a couple of the chronic offenders and process them if they so chose to file a complaint, we can't stop them from filing.
Right.
They could file on every single one. So, and we can't tell them, nope, you simply can't do that. I suppose we could dismiss it, but what's the
grounds? At present, I mean, they could submit all the complaints they want, and they would just sit there. I mean, I've made that very clear to them that I would take no action.
That's painful for me to hear, too. And I get the staffing level, and I understand that logistically speaking, we're not equipped to do it. But it is a part of statute. Okay, they have to charge these people or these entities. They have to. So they're kind of stuck in a tough spot, too. So do we take a couple of the chronic to help them clean them up and send a message to the others that if you don't pay, you could wind up with a formal complaint on your hands?
Well, why don't they initiate some of the solutions, just like the simple one you just suggested?
Well, I think they should, but we're in an in-between mode. What do we do with these balance, the ones that under current law, it is what it is because of the way the law is written.
Well, I would be more likely to pursue some of those bigger offenders if the on-call board comes up with a more permanent solution that takes care of this. Mm-hmm. But I kind of feel like it's not a big priority for them either, or they would be figuring that out.
Just for a point of clarification, when we're saying filing a complaint, you're saying they would file an informal complaint with us.
Correct.
Isn't that right, Victor?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I said formal, informal. No, it's a tough spot for them to be in as well. I don't know what the origin of the wording in statute. I don't know if it was something that was requested. I do know it's – I didn't realize it was as unusual as it is when
Apparently, at the time the law was drafted, the excavators were worried that they would not have a seat on the board if they were not contributing to the system.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So that's why they pay in North Dakota, and in no state in the nearby vicinity of us do excavators pay, which probably contributes a fair bit to the issue. Honestly, I mean, I see that as the best long-term solution for this, is a law change to stop excavators from having to pay. What happens then is the operators end up footing the whole bill.
Right.
For the system.
Yeah.
And I don't believe there was ever any discussion in the legislature, and I suppose someone could have been long-sighted enough to have seen it potentially happening, of the kind of process that this commission has to take in order to institute an action and then try and enforce it over those filing fees.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, honestly, if you read the language, it's not really – it's not saying, this is a bill you must pay or the commission's going to come after you. It's simply trying to lay out, in my opinion, that, both excavators and operators will share the costs. Nothing more complex than that. Just kind of setting up initially, when you design the system, make it so that everyone's contributing. And honestly, it doesn't even say you have to share equally. If you could say operators have to pay 75% and excavators 25%, and the law, I think, would probably already provide for that.
The thing about this is such a – of course, I don't know what the overall volume is, and the vast majority pay. But we're not talking about a tremendous amount of money. So,
right.
In terms of the whole scheme of things. So maybe the simplest is to – well, the simplest really is a change in – statute.
Well, how about this? If they don't propose some legislation and keep pursuing it, we'll set up a work session and figure something out. But
I think they had concerns with the timing of being able to get it done for this session.
We've been talking about for years.
Or Victor, was that your concern?
I think it's kind of around the board. So if we were to propose a law change at this point, particularly something along those lines, I don't know that we could get buy-in from all of the stakeholders.
I don't think we would propose a law change.
Sure.
They can
sure.
propose a law change.
Right.
But if it doesn't get done this session, then we're talking another 2 years.
Yep.
I think it's beyond the point where we could propose any legislation on this time frame wise.
Not us.
Right. Definitely not us. But the as Chairman Christman said, this is been here since, this has been an issue that's been recurred about every 6 months for a while, but for the last 3 years. The credit card suggestion has been out there in every one of these discussions, as well as the fact that they could also, as a business solution, do collections as well, just like we do for our penalties when they're unpaid. And these have all been suggestions, and this has still been just a recurring issue.
Well, if they don't pursue legislation, then we'll, I'll count on you to bring this up again. We'll set up a work session and decide what to do.
Sure.
But hopefully they will pursue legislation and fix it. Unless someone wants a work session now already to give them guidance.
I would say that they can propose legislation or come up with other solutions. If they have things that they want to talk to us about, they can request a work session.
Sure. And keep in mind that we have a filing deadline for us, for this agency, to propose legislation. But if they have an idea, if they recognize that we're not jumping at taking these cases and want to, if they need a law change to do the credit card thing, if they want to do something else, they just need to talk to a legislator and have the they have 2 months yet almost to get bills filed. So
certainly,
people are coming up with all kinds of crazy ideas up until 2 days before the filing date for bills.
But this isn't crazy. This
isn't. Well, I'm not saying this is crazy, but there are a lot of crazy things that come in at the end.
Many of the best ideas, like fine wine, need time to develop before you can enjoy them.
That's like trying to find a place that sells fine wine, you know, and it's too late to get it.
Okay,
So I think what I'm hearing then from the majority is I continue on with how I've been doing it up to this point. Let the board know just due to concerns of staffing and resources, we won't be processing these. If they would request a work session, we can set one up. But
that's where I'm at.
Okay.
I would have preferred to have pursued a couple of them, of the chronics.
Okay.
But that the ball would be in their court. Because we're still talking about, okay, so we're talking about law change. We're talking about potential auto pay if the law isn't changed as two viable solutions, no question about it, with permanence to both in terms of eliminating the problem. And I don't think it's just trying to sweep it under the rug because we're not talking about an incredible amount of money and we are very unique. But it is what it is, and I struggle with, well, that's the way statute is written for whatever its origin. And, you know, too bad, you're on your own. I don't know where
Once
we fall
in
all of that.
Once they have a permanent solution to stop the problem, then I think we should pursue fixing, cleaning up the mess. But if we start cleaning up the mess, there's no motivation to stop the problem. So let's, if they can do the credit card thing or they don't want, if they don't want to do the legislation, then get the credit card stuff going. And at least we know then that it's not going to keep, there's not going to keep accumulating problems, and then we can go after some of the biggest offenders. I'd be fine with that, but not until we know that there's something more permanent in place to stop this from happening.
Well, I can circle back to Ryan. I'm assuming I can do that and visit with him. Jack? I can circle back to Ryan and visit with him on this.
Commissioner, yeah, there's no ex parte issue with that as of right now.
Okay, let me do that and see if they're willing to advance it on their end.
One quick item to add to discussion.
Okay. What is it?
I just want a status report on the RTF. Where are we with that? And since they're all here.
Would a request to add an item to discussion, just a status report on the RTF? Where we're at
this point, we're waiting on the company to give us their proposed or their, I think, their ideas around how a resource plan can work, a formal one. They had intended to schedule an informal to discuss it with the commission, and we requested that they hold off until we have an opportunity to review their materials.
Okay.
And they have said they intend to do that. We just haven't seen or heard anything from them on this. So we can follow up with Dave.
Okay.
We expected to already have had it by now, yes. But I think they probably will be following up shortly with it as okay. well.
Okay, good. Yep. Thanks.
Then we'll move into scheduling. The first thing on here is the Aurora Wind Project. Jerry, did you send those proposed dates out to the other commissioners or just?
No, but I did hear back from the company. How about February 6th?
I also want to propose meeting dates for getting through the legislative session, and that was one of the dates that I was intending to propose for that.
Okay.
How about the 25th? That was one of the ones that was on the list that you gave me, and it happens to fall. That's one of the days when the legislature is on recess, and so we know that we won't have budget or other bills that we need to be testifying on.
That was February 25th?
Yes.
Let me ask about one more date first. How about the 8th of February? Only because the company gave me the 6th through the 8th as kind of a preferred time for them. But otherwise, the 25th is fine on my list.
I prefer the 25th. I've got two potential conflicts on the 8th.
Okay. 25 going once.
That work for you, Brian?
That works.
Good deal.
Where would that be?
You know, I hadn't nailed it down yet, but Williston?
It's pretty far north.
Tioga?
Williston.
Is that a... I just don't know exactly. I haven't looked at this one closely enough. I know it's up there north. Is this something that's going to fall to Williston or to one of the other towns?
I haven't looked that closely either. It's northwest, northeast.
It's closer to Tioga, but I don't know if we can get a good location and fly in and out of Tioga.
Yeah, we can.
Okay. Okay, so maybe Tioga then would be better.
Is it significantly closer to Tioga?
Yeah.
We've had a hearing in Tioga at the Nesbitt Consulting. Okay, they have a really beautiful facility.
Yeah, and we had something downtown there.
And it was a wind farm hearing. And we've been down at the cafe.
City Hall or whatever it was down there?
No, the City Hall was... We did. It's about a third the size of this room.
Is that the old suburban
but there's,
that we used for transportation?
One
is that Tioga?
Time. I think it was.
Yeah, this is right by the Lindell project. So
the Lindell hearing was at Nesbitt Consulting.
Okay,
yeah.
I remember now.
Which is
yeah.
a good location if it's available.
Big. Yeah. Okay.
So why don't you pursue that?
Is there a time that we want to set here?
Nine.
We would fly in, so.
Yeah, but you never know. The wind hearings tend to go long, so.
Yeah.
We should start not at 10 or 10:30. So, no. I would advocate for 9 personally.
Yeah,
okay. So
9 works for me, 9:30, but you're right, not any later than that, I think.
Okay. So we'll get the plane schedules and see what we can do.
Okay.
So I have one other thing, and I don't know if this is the perfect spot for it to land, but Jerry, could you re-forward the preliminary draft order on the 1550 megawatt that you sent out last Wednesday?
I'll tell you what, it has been changed.
Yeah. But we had something in hand to take a peek at, and I'm just thinking if that's part of what's holding it up to get that back out with the changes
it's
right away.
It's ready.
Okay.
It is ready now. So let me get you the changed order. Basically, it's the same as the order before, except findings and conclusion format was changed to
right. Yeah, but the meat and potatoes, if you will, has been put forth, right?
Say that again.
Well, just
okay. Meadowlark Wind. I think this was for a work session.
Yep, it was.
Did you have a preferred time?
I don't. I just wanted to get it out there. And are we waiting for anything in particular for that?
I don't recall waiting for
anything. We talked about wanting to have one when we were meeting with them in the informal, so I just wanted to put it out there so we could.
I don't know if staff needs any amount of time to work with the company based on some of the questions from the informal that we had the other day. Is Victor coming back or?
No, I don't think Victor was involved in the Meadowlark case, though. I was...
Oh, it was you, yeah.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Mr. Chairman, I was given direction that you opened up the possibility that I can have discussions with them, but you are able to have a work session around that as well. If you did want to give me some more time and have the opportunity to have it on a December agenda, I think it's December 8th or 9th, if we could have a work session maybe shortly before that, that would probably be a better time. The 6th, December 6th of the next one.
Meeting.
Okay, so the 6th is a Thursday. So.
And maybe I could provide an update of something in principle or if there's just no movement at all at that time.
Like the 3rd or the 30th, what are you thinking for a work session? Actually, I'm out on the 30th.
I am out on
How about bright and early on the 3rd or late in the day on the 3rd? On the 3rd, I'm booked up from noon, but I still have to drive over. So like, say 11:30 until about 3:15 or so. But I could do something either before or after.
There's the LEC.
Yeah. Well, that's what it... I didn't remember what it was. I marked off. But, yeah, so you are...
That's usually only done... That only goes to 1:30.
Right. Oh, 11:30 to 1:30. That's blocked out. That's transport.
It's downstairs with the organizational session till 3.
I'm good with 3 o'clock. I'm good with the morning.
I would prefer 3 because I get in at like 1 a.m. the night before.
Can we make it 3:15 because I sure. actually go till 3.
So 7 a.m. Sure. for Julie. No. Because so, I know that would happen to me at some point in time. So the work, 3 is great.
The work session on Meadowlark will be at 3:15 on December 3rd, right?
Okay.
And a public information exchange with NDU Utilities proposed by the company for December 18th, at which point they laid out two options, a morning one and an afternoon one. The morning one, we already have that day booked for our budget meeting and director's meetings. So what about the afternoon of the 18th from 1:30 to 3:30? Does that work for others?
Works for me.
Yeah, it does. Should be great.
Okay.
A Christmas pie meeting.
Then
still one of my greater disappointments since joining the commission, went to the first pie meeting. There was no pie.
That's why you don't hear me say pie. I say periodic information because I don't think it sounds good to the public when they hear of us
right.
having pie. With
Otter Tail used to bring pie.
I mean, it's did either of you have an opportunity to look at proposed late winter meeting dates?
Late winter or early?
Well,
January, February, March.
We're booked for January. This would have
taken
us from February till the first meeting of April.
I have a few things to add, so I think it's kind of important to get some of these knocked down. But can I throw some things out there that should be on our calendar that aren't, just so that we know those are part of it? You okay with that, Mr. Chairman?
Okay.
So the governor's budget address hasn't been noticed on ours, so that we should get that on there so we don't schedule over it it's probably on Randy's, but and that is which date? December 4th or something? 6th?
The 6th.
Well, that's the day we have our hearing, a meeting. It must be the 5th. December 5th is
correct. I'm sorry, the 5th. At 10 o'clock.
Okay.
So somebody, Daryl. Daryl? Okay.
I'll get that.
So you get that done. Okay.
And then.
Good point.
I don't know if either of you are going to the MARC commissioners meeting.
On the 10th, 11th, 12th 10th
and
of January?
11th of January. Because if anybody else is going, then we should notice that one too.
I haven't decided, but I probably will. So.
Should we put it on there?
Yeah, I'd like to go. I didn't make it to last year's.
Yeah. So that's a MARC commissioners meeting. Daryl, that's the 10th and 11th of January in Austin.
Doesn't it also go on the 12th?
Uh-uh.
It yeah,
you can stay over if you want, but
no, that's you're thinking of Sunday.
I think there's
it always went Saturday morning.
There's an agenda item on Saturday. I thought.
Uh-uh, it's not. It's not. You can stay over Friday night if you want, but it's a Thursday and Friday.
I'm 100% sure you're incorrect.
Okay, well we can double check.
I'm double checking,
but I don't think it goes into Saturday. Anyway.
Okay, so Daryl, follow up with us.
I will do that.
And confirm the actual
dates.
Yeah,
add the 12th.
It's for sure the 10th and 11th. And you can put it on the 12th, too.
There's a meeting at the hotel from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. on the 12th.
On the Saturday?
It always has been.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
There's really not a lot Thursday. It's just the gathering.
Half a day on Friday, Saturday. Okay. All right, so that's the MARC. Then NARUC is February 10th through the 13th.
I will not be going. Legislature going on.
That's fine. We should just have it on our calendar just so that Daryl knows and staff. And
should we notice that, Commissioner? Or, just get it on.
I mean, we usually put those on, but.
Doesn't hurt.
Doesn't hurt to, yeah. And then I was wondering about a work session.
And by the way, that's one of the ones that is one of the two reasons why that 3-week lull on those meeting dates allowed us to miss NARUC and
I have a
miss
conflict on that.
That kind of frenzied week right before crossover.
Okay, I have a conflict there, so we can talk about that next. Work session, Harmony Solar. Do we want to get something scheduled for that? I don't recall what the deadline dates were, and I meant to check, but I ran out of time for the filing of late file exhibits and the proposed order. Do you recall, Pat? A month? Because it was first part of November that happened.
Well, to me on Harmony, I mean, I'm anxious for the work session, but there's, for me, I don't feel like there's anything for me to talk about until I see the company's
brief.
on the exclusion area.
Yeah, well, we can wait to schedule that work session for the next meeting.
They were going
to
work on solutions with the Ag Commissioner's Office on the seed.
Right.
Acquisition
okay.
too.
So you want to hold off and schedule that at our next meeting? Schedule the work session.
I think so. Or if staff if that brief came out this afternoon and they had something on the seed stuff, we can schedule outside of these meetings. And so if it comes out relatively soon, get in touch with us. I'm anxious to get that case done. But
I mean, we could just throw a date out there like December 17th in the afternoon, just to have it. We've got an Excel meeting that morning.
I haven't looked, but have they forwarded the quality assurance guidelines that the North Dakota State Seed Department requires to be a certified dealer in North Dakota?
I haven't received any late filed information on that project.
I just remember seeing a letter from about quality, seed quality from,
the county commission.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, I read into that, so like they didn't much care as long as it's not that one week.
Right. Yeah.
Right. That's all I remember seeing so far. Well, but I'll take a look at what the docket.
I'm okay with scheduling something way out or waiting until we get that. But
it's sort of with the holidays, and I think it's kind of nice to get stuff on the calendar so we have it.
I agree.
If we need to change it, we can. But I'm looking at the 17th of December. And we have I have an Excel meeting TBD in the morning blocked off. Is that a PI meeting?
December 17th? I don't have anything on.
Judicial Executive. Oh, I'm sorry. That's one of those governor's meetings. Okay, never mind. So I have the whole day available on that day.
Can you give me the date again? I'm sorry.
17th of December. It's a Monday.
What was the time, Commissioner?
Well, whenever. We're just looking.
Late in the day works better for me.
Yeah, I have a meeting between 1 and 2 o'clock on the 17th. Otherwise, I'm open.
Does 2 work, Randy, or how late do you want
to
be?
Yeah, does 2 give you time to get here from your meeting? Or 2:30?
It's a conference call. NARUC, Critical Infrastructure.
So 2?
At least 2:15. 2:15 would
give you plenty.
I think so, yeah.
If they haven't wrapped up by then, you'll probably be glad to have an excuse to get off.
I'll just call it.
Okay, so Harmony Solar work session 2:15 on December 17th. Okay.
Well, you know, another thing that's probably more pressing time-wise, do we need a work session to discuss any legislation that we want to have submitted as an agency? Or, and this the second would be less pressing time-wise, any rule changes that we want to be contemplating?
Yes. I think that's always a good idea.
Well, if you want to have a work session on legislation, because I was assuming there wasn't any until you mentioned the one yesterday or the day before, let's have it as soon as possible because the deadline is early December. As far as I know, the divisions have no legislation, and I had not heard anything from commissioners except the one self-funding that didn't go too far. So
next week?
Well,
and that's only a week before December, early December, so.
I understand. I didn't think there was any legislation, so anytime you can. I have a couple appointments. I'll go check them.
So we've got the 28th is fairly open on my calendar. 29th?
Well, what about if we met on the 28th in the morning? I could do, but do we have things on the 27th other than the NSP informal?
Nope, I don't.
I don't either.
That'd be good.
So how about if we all thought real hard about any ideas we have and meet in either the morning or kind of late after that informal? I would suggest the morning. But
yeah, let's do the morning. 11? 10:30? Those sometimes take a while once we get started.
Let's do 10.
10, okay.
Good for you.
Works for me.
cleanup.
I don't have anything.
After my Thanksgiving faux pas, I'm just rolling with it.
I have a couple of conflicts, okay. But I don't know when.
What's next?
Pat, do we need a work session on the tree and shrub to finish that up, or where are we with that?
I've been trying to reach the Northwest Islanders.
Oh.
I just can't.
He just texted me last week and asked me what I thought, and I said, Pat Vaughn is trying to get in touch with you.
Yeah. I was trying to do that, but we did receive some other comments, which I think what I was planning to do was just copy all the comments we received to you.
Okay.
And see what you wanted to do with them, but I haven't been able to get all of them.
Okay. Well, you and I will talk about that, but do you guys want to, how would you like to proceed? Do you want Pat and I to work through the comments and bring them together in a work session?
I would like that if
okay.
Things were
organized,
put together
yeah.
a little bit.
Yeah. All right, so let's set a work session, then we'll make sure we get our stuff together, Pat, prior to that.
Well, Northwest Landowners Association, they have a big, I don't know if it's an annual meeting per se, or
yeah.
don't they have some kind of big meeting coming up on
December 8th.
The 8th?
With Clay Jenkinson.
So I don't know if that's distracting his attention.
Yeah, I don't know. I just talked to him last week.
For that. I don't know, do you want it after that?
Pat, how long do we need? We can get together next week. And are you here next week? So you and I can get together next week to go through the comments and then.
What about, that's right, what time did we put down on December 3rd for not, it was in the afternoon?
Oh, it's, yeah, later.
What time?
3:15.
Oh, that's going to kind of gobble up the rest of the afternoon. I was just wondering if we followed that since we're
that's
convened.
That's going to be a busy week. Maybe we should try to get it, like, end of next week, the 29th. I think that week with the legislature here is going to be crazy.
It's going to be terrible.
And then the NDTC meeting is that week, too.
That's true.
What if we said, does the 29th or 8th work for you guys?
The 8th works better.
Okay. How about you, Brian? Maybe like it, later.
Yeah, either day is fine. Either at any time.
Let's do it in the morning on the 28th.
Well, I'm thinking we might need a little more time. Can we do the afternoon of the 28th if we're doing that day? Because
okay.
Pat and I need some time to work through this stuff.
Okay.
And get a hold of Troy and all that. So, can we say like 3?
Okay.
Does that work?
Well,
or would you rather do it at 2?
We'll make it work.
Okay.
What's the date now?
28th at 3.
November 28th?
And that's a work session on the
tree and
shrub mitigation plan. All right.
Are you out?
Nope, I'm done. Except for the meetings. I've got some thoughts on those meeting dates if you want
to
still talk
about it. Before we get to those, is our MISO person?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this was to me directly or if this was going to be others involved. Something on December 11th. Do we need to notice?
Oh, are you going to that LSU thing? In New Orleans?
No. Allison sent me an invitation for the evening of the 11th. I don't know if that was just...
Oh, okay. No, that's just you.
Did you get one, Brian?
Because we've got our MISO.
Connected to the LSU?
No.
I don't know what you're talking about. I mean,
I'm sorry.
University?
That's... Yeah. So MISO is coming on the 12th for their thing. I'm gone the day before at a MISO deal out in New Orleans. So I get back that night.
Okay.
But I'm sure that they want to sit down with just you, just to do an update.
Okay. So we don't need the schedule.
Is that a MISO in LSU? I'm not going to go. I was contemplating, but I think
it is.
It's a one, they're one-on-ones, aren't they?
It's a workshop.
Okay, so then
let me know how it goes.
Let's move into the rest of the winter meetings.
Okay, the sixth works for me. The 27th of February does not.
By
that whole week is kind of challenging. So I was curious why we weren't doing it when it would have been 2 weeks after the 6th.
Well, part of it was those other dates then moving forward worked out in 2 week increments, so having the third week got those all on what seemed like a good path, but also the week before on the 22nd, that whole week is sort of like that last frenzied week when they do so much of the work in the legislature, and whatever time we set, then there's going to be some kind of a bill down there that we should be at.
Mm.
And so I was
what is it, crossover or something?
To avoid that. Yeah. The end of the week of the 20th would be crossover. They usually get done on anywhere from, I've seen it Wednesday night already, all the way to Friday afternoon. But that's a hectic week.
Yeah. I will be gone that next week for, I'm not sure which days, but very likely the 27th. So we'd have to go earlier, like the 26th. And then I also have a conflict on when you had proposed March 27th, I also have a conflict that week. So,
well,
we could wait, and some of these will play out a little bit, but that the March one might not end up coming to fruition, but I know for sure that the 27th of February do.
Well, would, I mean, that whole week, so they'll come back on Wednesday, the 27th anyway, but, you know, they start with more of the simple things usually the first few days. And so would any other day that week work, or is the whole week?
Well, that's why I'm saying the 26th or 5th would probably be. The 26th we could try.
Let's schedule it the 26th, and if it's not working out, we can adjust it as we go, too. That wouldn't be the first time.
Yeah. Okay.
We're talking February?
Yeah, so we're February 6th, February 26th, and then does the 13th work for everyone of March?
Yes.
The 13th works.
And if that week of the 27th is problematic, I would be okay with just scheduling these three and then.
Sure. Why don't we do that?
But I would just caution Brian, I wouldn't wait very long past the first of the year to get these scheduled.
I'm trying to get more specifics on that.
Okay, why don't
we
schedule the three at this point, Commissioner, is that true?
Yeah, February 6th, February 26th,
March
13th.
Same time, 10 a.m.
10 a.m. here.
Okay, got it.
And just don't be alarmed that the 26th is a Tuesday, because it is. It's not a mistake. So just as far as the scheduling portion of it, I'll watch for Alana to say if I'm getting off base. With the as Conrad was preparing an announcement on the heavy scale inspector position, there was question about at this point should it go out or not. I don't know if we need a work session to discuss that. I had kind of left it with if commissioners have strong feelings one way or the other, they should be talking to the executive director, and the executive director will kind of know whether a work session is needed. But if someone specifically wants a work session to discuss it at this time, they should bring it up now and we can schedule it.
Yeah, and I think if a commissioner has strong feelings, then it maybe is a default to a work session as opposed to a decision by means of the executive secretary.
I was thinking if all the commissioners agree one way or the other, the executive director knows that and guides.
Yes.
They all don't care or which way. Or.
Yes. Yes, to an extent.
So does anyone want a work session on that subject?
That's right. You had to jump off the call, so you missed.
The question being, when the announcement is finished, do we send it out, say, later this week or early next week, and then the following week potentially get the governor's budget and that whole thing is being proposed for removal? Do we wait until after the governor's budget comes out, but then maybe it encourages that we're indifferent to it? Or it's just the timing of that, because it's gotten so close already to when the governor's budget's going to come out.
I don't think it's going to reflect in terms of anyone analyzing whether or not we do it or don't do it in terms of intent on our end, because I think there are bigger components that will be scrutinized. But I don't think it hurts to get things ready. Then we're just a few days off, ready to pull the trigger, and then after the governor's budget comes out.
Well, and then, I mean, it does beg the broader question of, regardless of what the governor proposes, we've said we're not going to advocate for that reduction. So I guess it does present a more practical problem, but...
But we can't really discuss the issue here now. We just got to decide if we want a work session. Then
you can if you add it to your agenda. The discussion of the issue you can add to your agenda.
Let's add it to the... Okay. Good point.
I was like, well, we can add stuff to the...
Okay, we're going... We're done with scheduling now, I believe, right?
Yes.
There's nothing else scheduling. Unless...
Well, there's one more addition that's this much discussion and this much scheduling. That's... The grain cease and desist. You can have this conversation and then we'll have that conversation.
Okay. We'll go back to the discussion and we'll add in the timing of the job position notice for the heavy scale inspector position. When do you think you'll have that ready to announce? Maybe there's nothing to announce if it's not going to be done before December 5th anyway.
No, I'm in the process of reviewing that and should have that done. Pending things out coming today, I'll have it either done today or beginning of tomorrow. We haven't posted it for a while, so it's really just reviewing the posting to make sure that it is accurate with the quality assurance piece of it, because that's how the position's changed.
So I guess I don't have real strong feelings one way or the other. For my part, I'm almost willing to let you use your discretion. You know, if we send it out and someone's really excited about it, I don't think anyone's going to expect... The job closing is not going to be before the first week of December anyway.
Correct.
So they're not going to be expecting an answer from us one way or the other. And so to start advertising it, I guess, maybe is fine. But on the other hand, it could turn around quickly, too, and then we just have that to deal with, that now these people have possibly applied, and now we got to tell them, well, there's major concerns about this. So I just don't feel strong. I don't think we're making a huge mistake one way or the other, or getting a huge benefit one way or the other on it.
Right. Chairman, I don't think that, from my perspective, I look at it that posting it is not a requirement to hire for it. We don't have an obligation to hire for it. You know, posting it and all, you know, in reality, most likely we're probably going to have to post it a second time, maybe a third, depending on what we might have, you know, the availability of qualified applicants. So I don't think it would necessarily be too much of an issue just to get the feelers out there and see what is out on the market.
Anyone else have feelings on it?
I think that's a good plan.
Yeah, we're not bound by it.
No, no.
Okay. So go ahead.
That's, yeah, I mean, it's, I'm not like over the top adamant that we wait. Although I don't frankly know that we're going to see a lot of applicants at the beginning of this time of year. Right. People tend to look to make change right after the first.
Right.
And applications for whatever reason pre-holiday are really slow.
Well, that with the addition of our winter onset here as well, hey, work outside for the next 4 months, so it'll be exciting. It's very appealing.
No, it's no, driver, but it's yeah, but it's really more of an indoor job because the bays are almost always heated, aren't they?
Oh yeah, especially let's some of these woodhouse elevators, absolutely.
Just in case a potential applicant is listening, it's like the Bahamas every day out there.
Okay, so go ahead and proceed with the normal process and get it to Daryl and follow the normal procedures. We'll get it announced when you're ready.
Thank you, Chairman. Appreciate it. Okay,
and then what was the other thing?
The other item that we have, moving back to scheduling, I guess, we have not, so we're working on a stipulation with the owner of Midwest Grain Trading, Mr. Hunter Hansen, and through his attorney to not sell or purchase any more grain and also to keep it insured, bonded, and keep it in a good condition to preserve it at this point. We sent that stipulation to his attorney on Friday. We were informed on Monday by his attorney that she gave it to him on Friday. We have not heard back on that. And then yesterday afternoon, we sent her a requirement to let us know by 9:30 a.m. if he was going to accept the stipulation or not. We haven't had any communication at that point. So we are needing to schedule a special meeting. We'd like to pursue an ex parte cease and desist to make sure that we can begin preserving the any assets that may be there for a potential insolvency.
Well, we need to do that immediately.
Can you have that done today?
I don't know that we've got some drafts, but it might not be done today. I had a crown fall out, and I'm heading to deal with that out too. And I was going to say, whatever the schedule ends up being for that, I have to go and do. I don't know the schedule till 2 o'clock, the appointment at 2. But we were hoping tomorrow. Now, I realize you may all be off tomorrow, but you can certainly all be on the phone. I mean, it's not impossible. We were hoping that we could get it together by, like, tomorrow afternoon.
So, would it be possible to do it in the morning, you think, if you're depending on your dentist appointment?
Depending, well, the problem is I don't know how much time that I will have to work on those documents. I have a draft done that will get redone, and then I don't know what my afternoon is like, so I don't know if we'll be ready in the morning. I don't want to overpromise, okay? I'm thinking it will definitely be ready by later. If it is, we can certainly have something in the morning, but I can't promise that the way the schedule is.
Well, I will come in for it, and so we'll have one of us here at least to chair it. And are you able to both call in tomorrow?
Yes.
Or maybe you're here. I don't know.
I am not here. I'm in Minot tomorrow.
If it's in the morning, I think I can be in office in the morning.
Okay.
You want to make it late morning? Would that work? It's a 5-minute thing.
Well, I'll make it work, whether I'm here physically or on the phone. So whatever time.
Will you know a time? You're going to get more clarity this afternoon on your appointment?
And I will get more clarity on the documents this afternoon at some point, yes. So.
Okay, why don't you schedule that basically however early you can tomorrow?
Okay. And we may know that in a few hours. Yeah.
So okay. If you could get it in at 11 or 10, fine. If it needs to go to the afternoon, it sounds like
we'll okay. All right. We will, yeah, we will do it. Thank okay. you.
Thank you.
Do we need anything regarding Mitch?
Well, you will eventually have a motion, but I usually present it to you once I have an appointment. Now, I have asked Liz for the appointment, but she's out until the 28th. So when she works on that, she will backdate it, and then I usually put a motion on the agenda. I didn't put it on today because then I'd have to say, subject to getting the appointment, da-da-da-da-da-da. I just thought it was easier to make it effective, and that's what I've asked her to do.
Based on preliminary reports from producers or other elevators that have done business with this, it looks like there could be more claims than there is a trust fund. And as I'm understanding, the law right now is that we shall recoup our costs out of that trust fund beforehand.
Yes.
That hiring outside counsel is going to not look good in this situation.
I understand.
If that trust fund is only paying a small percentage and then we recover first, but that is what the law is, unless they choose to change it here soon. But that being said, I am just assuming that commissioners that have an issue with proceeding would probably tell you before you go through all that work with Liz.
Well, that's true, and I did send that email out for that purpose. I will tell you, though, what you need to keep in mind is, first of all, Grand Forks Bean was about 3 years, okay? So you've got to think about consistency. You've got to think about the complexity. We do have an actual licensed warehouse that has received some of this grain. That insolvency, if it is an insolvency against that warehouse, would be in that county. Well, there's two locations. I think there might be two counties. So there's that issue, roving grain insolvencies, which we think that the debts seem to be owed by the roving, is in Burley County. You have wet grain that there's an insurance claim against, but the insurance company doesn't want to pay, as far as we know, what we've heard. So we've got insurance issues. And then you've got the multitude of claimants. And you've got a broker involved. And I don't know if that broker is involved in any way to contribute to this. But that broker happens to have a roving license also. And we aren't at the bottom of it yet. And so this insolvency might take the top place away from Anderson and Grand Forks Bean as far as legal complexity. And what you want, first of all, half of that is beyond my expertise, and you are so much better served to have someone who can see it through all the way. I did talk with the Attorney General's office, but I haven't been able to actually have a conversation. I emailed talk. To see if they had any resources, because the rate is slightly less. Not a lot less, but a little bit less. And I haven't been able to have that conversation, but I did say we needed somebody sooner, and they don't have anybody to give us sooner. I've had conversations with Doug Anderson, but he doesn't make those final decisions. He just knows how much time he has. That it would be him or somebody in his a similar type of position to him. So I've tried these different methods. I'm hoping to talk to Troy this afternoon when he gets out of the PERS meeting or wherever he is. But I feel from experience that the AG's office will not be able to contribute the resources that we need for
so
this
even
insolvency.
Though they would be slightly less and may not be available anyway, do they have the same level of expertise as Mitch?
Mitch now has done an insolvency front to back. Doug Anderson has helped us on previous ones, has been more of an assistant and an advisor. I shouldn't say assistant, but an advisor, has not handled one all the way through. Certainly capable of it, and I don't know who else they have down there. They may have some new people, but I have not worked with anybody on an insolvency from front to back.
And
from there.
Ultimately, if Mitch was enlisted or AG's office, you had said the commission would be, I believe, better served.
Well, the commission is best served to have, from my standpoint, outside counsel that can take the case with some experience from beginning to end and has litigation expertise on some of these issues that we have not encountered before. We will be doing plenty of work on this insolvency in-house, but one of the things that outside counsel will do is take care of the paperwork and the filing. We do have a major concern about whether, if we were trying to do that all in-house, whether there are people who could, there's enough people, support staff people, to handle the production of those documents and the filing and service of those documents. That's another issue that takes a lot of time, what somebody else would do if you outsourced.
I think for me the most important question then, how are claimants best served? In the same fashion?
Claimants are best served if it didn't cost anything. That's why it used to say may. Now it says shall.
But we say the commission is best served by outside counsel. Doesn't that translate to then the claimants are? Or what's the benefit just to us and not the claimants?
Right.
Well, the commission and the claimants are, the commission is a trustee if appointed. So the trustee's main objective is to protect those claimants. Okay,
right.
So
we'd have to be able to make the case that by us being the best served, that is the claimants being the best served in order to justify hiring outside counsel in
well,
my opinion.
This insolvency will not be done by May. That's number one. So unless you want to assign somebody else in-house to do it, that's your biggest problem.
Right.
Your biggest problem. And your second biggest problem is the complexity of having these different counties. And are we going to try to have two insolvencies? And do we have proof of two? And we're trying to work all that out ourselves right now. We're not burning lawyer hours on it right now. But it will take the expertise of somebody with litigation experience.
Does this fellow from AG's office, if he's available, can we get more information on how much that differs from Mitch's rate?
Well, Jill's got the, I can't remember if it's 140, 160. We have bills from him now. We're getting them in Westmoreland. And I don't know if he would be assigned, but they're all the same rate, I think. And I can get that this afternoon. Mitch is 200.
Okay, so and then if you estimate how many hours, say how many hours did Mitch bill for in the last case, the Bean case?
Do you know that off the top of your head, Conrad, his bill?
Estimate?
We'd have to look it up. A lot.
Yeah, I mean, could you even?
Well, that was a complicated one. I'm just saying for a ballpark figure, we could estimate the most recent really.
Yeah, we can get that. I just don't have it in my head.
And
Jill
will
have it.
We'd have a.
Wasn't it about $70,000 or was it 50?
Something at least, yeah. Yeah.
Just for Mitch?
I think he also paid the witness out of that, did he not? I can't remember. I think he did. Tim.
This could be 100 plus.
This could be a lot of money. This this is why I proposed getting rid of the whole thing last session. It's a lot of money, and it's very complicated. There is nothing that any one of us can do about that situation. That is the state of the law and the situation.
So here's where I'm at. If we can save... okay, we need outside counsel, whether it's the AG's office or Mitch.
That's correct.
If we're saving $60 an hour with the AG's office, that's not a small difference. That's a big difference.
If they can do
even
it.
Even if it's 40, it's a big difference if you're looking at a lot of hours. And so if they can do it, then I would say we go with them, even though I appreciate Mitch's work and his experience.
Okay.
But if they can't do it, then I don't know that we have a lot of choices, because it's clearly in the best interest of the trustees or the claimants to have us have strong, consistent legal counsel to work this through. So we have to have that one way or another, and either through the AG's office or outside counsel.
I should say that it's possible that there's more than just the two bonds, and we don't know if we're getting two bonds or one, because that's still an open question. But there are P's. I don't know what they're worth, because some of them are wet. And there are some accounts receivable if we can get moving and get this, you know, get like the cease and desist done and get the thing filed. So it's possible. I don't think there's the full amount that we're seeing as claims, some of which may not be legitimately a claim. But there could be more than just what you're thinking as bonds. But I agree. I did ask to talk with Troy, who is the decision maker, I think, with Matt Sagsveen's input, this afternoon, hopefully. And hopefully he'll be done before I go to the dentist. And we can have this conversation. You're certainly free, any one of you, to speak with them, too. I am not... I frankly expected them to write back and say, we don't have any resources, because that was Doug's gut feeling after one of the Westmoreland calls when we talked. They have to have a very clear picture, which they can get from me and from Doug and even from talking to Mitch, about what their commitment would be for this case to see it through to the end.
Well, and I think one of the things that we probably need to emphasize to them is, it's not like there's a big pool of money where this comes from. It's kind of coming from out of the claimants' pockets, whatever.
Well, that's
whatever we need is less.
That's
probably going to be going to them.
That's
so if
true.
They're able, this is sure one where I think the state's resources are legitimately used.
That's true to an extent, but do remember that this, if you get anything back from the trust fund, it will be at the end. And that may or may not, and I doubt that it will be, before the end of the biennium. So the first investment was probably coming out of the general fund. Okay? And if you go back to Jill in Grand Forks Bean, it was across the biennium, and so two? Oh, okay.
It crossed two biennium.
The general fund got reimbursed.
Not for the stuff in the previous biennium.
Okay.
Just can't do that.
One other?
It still went... I thought we couldn't get it, but it still went back into the general.
I'll have to double check.
I just talked to her about that.
Okay,
yesterday.
Maybe.
From the fund.
It just didn't come back to us.
Okay, and that may be.
Knowing that time is of the essence on this, would the AG's office be able to move at the same speed that Mitch would be able to move? Or would their attention be divided, obviously, with other commitments, et cetera, or potentially?
I don't know. Their first response to me was to wait a week or so, and they would see if they had resources. So okay. That tells me not necessarily. I said back, I don't have a week or so. But I'll have that conversation when I can talk with them.
And I agree with Julie on the, you know, getting that difference in cost, projected cost, but that's another element in terms of speed.
But the part where speed is most important is on getting the cease and desist done. And that is going to be done by either Mitch or the AG's office.
That's going to be done by us. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
God willing. Yes.
And we'll get your tooth fixed.
I don't think it's getting fixed today. I think it's getting the assessment today.
Okay. I think that wraps up everything for scheduling and discussion.
I did look at my calendar more closely for the March 13th. We got the 27th should work, and then for our commission meetings, okay. If we wanted to finish that up, the March 27th should work. I was wrong. I don't have a conflict there.
Let's pencil it in.
And then April 10th, I do have a conflict, so, but I could do it on the 11th.
I think we should pencil that in, too.
Okay, so did you get that, Daryl? We had previously scheduled the 6th of February, the 26th of February, and the 13th of March. Add the 27th of March and Thursday, the 11th of April.
Got it.
And then just so you know, there'll be a little less hurry for you to do something like this.
That looks good. That looks really good.
Okay. We are adjourned.